Los Angeles friendos, join Going In Raw as we go live on stage with Wrestling With Regrets' Brian Zane September 24th at the Nerdist Showroom in L.A. The link to tickets is in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are going in Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you'll be watching right here at YouTube.com/ Steve and Larson. And available wherever fine podcasts are. So, Larson, I think today, officially, all day long, we've been over 182,000 subs.
Yeah, I'm still not going to celebrate until we stay above that.
Taking my trophy.
That mark for
I'm
at least another 3 days.
Shout out to everybody, my mom, my teachers.
As soon as you say that, we're going to dip 10 below.
Ooh, oh, no.
So I'm waiting.
Well, okay, what's the window? What's the padding?
3 days.
We've been waiting to get over 182,000 for ages now and over the last week.
182,000 or more for 3 days. Then we will schedule the sub party.
Listen, over the past week, we have been teased by YouTube. Teased, I tell you, about this 182,000 sub thing. We've been waiting for months to be over 182,000. And once we're firmly established over 182,000,
yeah, 3 days.
3 days of over 182,000 status, we're having ourselves a sub party.
We need to decide where we're getting the sub sandwiches from.
I know. It's still open for debate.
I think both Quiznos and Subway have been eliminated from contention, right?
Subway and Quiznos? Well, Quiznos has.
Yeah.
Apparently, it makes us both ill.
Well, it doesn't make me ill. I just don't want to eat it.
Why is that?
Just the sound, when you say Quiznos, I don't go, oh, okay, that sounds good.
Yeah, do you think that when you say Subway?
No, not necessarily. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Mr. Pickle?
Yeah, Mr. Pickle's okay.
Beach Hut.
Yeah.
Really? Eh?
Yeah.
Anyways, we're also available on the Patreon, patreon.com/ Steven Larson. We had 50 people watching us hum various WWE theme songs in our pre-show today.
Yes.
And there's going to be more shenanigans in our post-show.
Yes, maybe more humming.
Later on, maybe more humming. Maybe we'll whistle. I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do. Anyways, we have a whole wealth of reward tiers over there on the Patreon at patreon.com/ Steven Larson, including the $5 best value per month reward.
Yes.
Where you can check out three of these recap live streams every week.
Yes.
And enjoy us humming in our pre-show.
Yes.
We're also available at Pro Wrestling Tees, prowrestlingtees.com/ Going In.
Correct.
Raw. We have a bunch of, not rewards, we have a bunch of great shirts over there. Check
we
those
do.
Out.
We also got a couple things we want to announce. First, we're doing a live show with Brian Zane from Wrestling With Regrets September 24th.
The head of the show, we had a whole card about that.
Yeah, 12 days.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun.
So if
yeah,
you're ahead. In Southern California.
Yeah.
Want to come see us talk about a tag team.
So it's, we're going to do like a
we'll
live.
We'll say hi. We'll hang out for a few minutes afterwards.
We're going to talk wrestling, and then we're going to do a live review of a failed TV show. They just did a pilot for it called Tag Team.
With Jesse Ventura and Roddy Piper.
From like 91, was
something
it?
Like that.
Something like that. So that should be a lot of fun. It should be really goofy and fun, and Brian Zane's a great guy. So, it should be a lot of fun. Come say hi, and then later on is No Mercy. I think, are we going to No Mercy?
That's the plan.
Yeah, we're probably going to go to No Mercy.
We haven't gotten tickets yet.
No Mercy. You should probably get on that, dude. Anyways.
And then also.
Oh, yeah. So we've got a contest. So I know, you know, Going In Raw View isn't our most popular show.
Yeah.
But on the latest Going In Raw View, we announced a contest to give away a signed copy of this, the Ric Flair, Charlotte Flair book, Second Nature. See, look, this actually, we didn't do this. We were sent this by St. Martin's Press, and we're giving two of these out, and all we're going to do is like an art contest. Hit us up on Twitter, at RealGoingInRaw, with your drawing or some form of art. Could be a poem, could be a video.
Yes.
Detailing or showing us your interpretation of your favorite Ric Flair moment. And then next week we're going to have the same contest, but your favorite Charlotte Flair moment.
Correct.
Hit us up on the Twitter at RealGoingInRaw. Just send it to that. Just at us. Tag us, I guess is what it's called.
Yeah.
And then you know, the one that we like the best, the one that tickles us. Doesn't have to be the best piece of artwork can be the one that tickles us the most.
Yes.
So I don't know. Anyways. Yeah.
Now we can talk about Raw.
Another enjoyable episode. I was totally into that. I thought it was great. Did you like it?
You know, I got to stop judging Raw based on whether I like it or not. And whether it all depends whether I'm in the mood to watch it or not.
Oh, interesting.
Some days it's like at 8 o'clock or usually after 8 o'clock Monday nights after a day of work.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to, like last night, half the time I was like, man, I wonder, like I was following the scores of the football game on my computer. I was like, wow, this is like a really good game.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like, I got to watch Raw. So I didn't watch football at all.
Okay.
So it felt, some days it feels more like an obligation than others.
Yeah.
And last night it felt like more of an obligation. I'd say there was some good stuff. There was some definitely good stuff that happened on the show. But at the same time, there was like this segments that I wasn't really into.
Like what? Well, let's just start at the beginning. Yeah. Load up your notes. What happened first? Oh, first it was, I liked this. They kicked us off with another Jason Jordan match.
Yeah, Jason Jordan is great.
And it ties into the Cena-Roman storyline.
Yeah.
So Roman and Jason Jordan had their match. Again, Jason Jordan, hell of a worker. He can be in there and he can just run.
And they gave this match a ton of time. I think it was about a 24-minute match.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Jason Jordan is fantastic in the ring. He just needs, they got to find a character for him that works. That works for him, that connects with the crowd in some way.
Yeah, I know.
And he's going to go places. He's going to go far.
I know.
Because he's stellar in the ring.
No, I agree. I totally agree with that. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know how you solve that problem necessarily. Like, because he's so good in the ring. But, like, when he's talked on the mic, like, you're right. They need to give him direction. They need to give him a story. And sometimes you can find direction as a character with story. And that, I mean, that's as good as any place to start. So I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
But
like they started a story and they haven't touched upon it since.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a shame because he is really, really good. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Of course, Roman goes over with the spear.
Mm-hmm.
Afterwards, he shakes Jason Jordan's hand.
Yeah.
After talking trash about him kind of last week.
Right.
Jason Jordan has earned Roman Reigns' respect.
Mm-hmm.
Then we cut backstage. John Cena was watching the match on a giant monitor.
Yeah.
And Charlie Caruso goes up to Cena and asks, you know, what do you think about Roman Reigns' performance tonight? And he goes,
I'm
not going to tell you. I'm going to go out to the ring and tell him.
Right.
So we cut to commercial, and we come back, and Roman's just awkwardly standing in the ring because he had to stand there for the whole commercial
so
break.
So, yeah, what the heck was up with that? It's him this week, but you know who always gets stuck on that duty? Sheamus and Cesaro.
Yeah.
I've noticed that over the past couple of weeks, they've always been in the position where they have to mill about endlessly during a commercial break and several recaps.
Maybe they do that, and they get the crowd singing the Sheamus and Cesaro song.
No, they're heels. They can't do that.
Well, the crowd will do it themselves.
You think the crowd would sing along with Roman Reigns? Probably, because it'd be showing some sort of personality.
I don't know.
If he started saying, okay, everybody, listen up. Big Dog is going to hum some WWE songs.
And it's all his theme. All he does is his theme.
Yeah, let's see if you guys can pick out which one it is.
Different tempos.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, you thought that was Taz's theme. Nope, my theme. Big Dog.
Big Dog. It was just faster. Big Dog.
I know. So Cena makes his way down the ring. He and Roman again do these shoot type promos.
Man.
And I feel like the last 2 weeks is all about trying to find a way for Roman to get the upper hand verbally.
Yeah.
And it's just not working.
They're failing miserably.
Yes.
They're failing miserably. Dude, he gets in there and John Cena was like, okay, so try to explain yourself because, you know, you were getting on me last week about it taking 16 minutes to beat a rookie. Rookie.
And it took you just as long, if not longer.
Exactly. So what were you doing? And try to talk in a single sentence without saying this is my yard or something like that. And Roman Reigns says, I was putting on a great match, John. That's something you don't know anything about. Wrong. John Cena's had several great matches in his career.
Yeah, just the last year and a half. Yeah.
Even over the past.
He just had a really good one.
He had one last week.
Nakamura. Yeah,
he had against Jason Jordan had a great match.
Yeah, good match last week.
So
yeah, too.
He took like 8 minutes of screen time with Nakamura and put on a great match.
Yeah. So, and Reigns said, I've had more great matches the last 2 years than you've ever had.
Yeah.
Incorrect.
Yeah. Ugh. Incorrect again. Business is great. Incorrect. It's only great when Cena's around.
Why are WWE cutting costs? Why is there no pyro, Roman?
I know, exactly.
There's no pyro.
And here's
Business
the thing.
Isn't that good.
Here's the thing. And because I think it's sort of...
Hold on. I'm going to interrupt you for a second. Do you see the pictures? I don't know when during the show it was taken. Someone posted a picture, I think, on Twitter of the crowd last night at Raw. And like half of the hard camera side of the arena was empty.
Aww.
Granted, it could have been right at the beginning. I don't know when it was taken. Should preface with that.
Yeah, Cena should have looked over at that crowd and been like, what? What are you talking about? Here's the thing, though, about that crowd. Crowds these days are kind of savvy.
Yes.
You know, they're kind of savvy on things. That's why they can do worked shoots, because everybody knows that Cena is back because Roman isn't exactly getting over as the top guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody kind of knows that. Like, a lot of people still totally buy into Roman Reigns as fans because they like Roman Reigns. Yeah. And they want him to get over. We want Roman Reigns to get over because then we'll like him.
Exactly.
However, the problem is this. The crowd, they don't react to Roman. If you say something that's true, that's a burn, crowd's going to react.
Yeah.
You know, just like later on in the show when Enzo said The Miz was a paper champion, everybody laughed that off because it's so completely untrue. He is, in my estimation anyways, and I know maybe in yours, he's probably the greatest Intercontinental champion we've seen.
We've seen probably. He's definitely top three all time.
Right, exactly. And it's like he's definitely, I mean, oh, he had the world championship, but in terms of a... I mean, who else is up there in terms of Intercontinental champions?
Jericho.
Jericho, RVD, maybe.
I think Macho Man just had one run, but it was long.
Right, exactly. But in terms of establishing that title, especially these days, like, for my money, you know, I think history books will go, and he's not done.
No.
He's going to go down as one of the best. So the crowd laughed that off. And when you're the face, you can't have the crowd laughing off your fake news. That's what Roman was dishing out last night. Some fake news.
I know.
And the crowd kind of laughed it off. So you can't do that anymore. You can't just make up false narratives and think that's going to get over the crowd just because you think it's a sick burn. If it was true, it'd be a sick burn. But it wasn't.
Yeah. So nobody like really... Cena at the end of this segment said...
That was a sick burn!
That was. Says he was going to be like a drug test because you can't get past me.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah. That was everybody just the jaws were dropped on that one because again that was
the first. I mean, that's publicly acknowledging the fact on TV that Roman Reigns failed a drug test. I don't know if they've ever done it in that capacity before.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
So,
anyways, we should have noted, by the way, Roman Reigns beat Jason Jordan with this spear.
I did.
Okay, I did sorry. I was. We're figuring out this stuff with the patrons. With the live stream, making sure everybody's in.
Next, Sasha Banks versus Emma.
Mm-hmm.
It was an okay match.
Yeah, decent enough match.
Alexa Bliss was on commentary for a while, and then Nia Jax came out, and she joined the commentary table as well.
Yeah.
Eventually, Emma tapped out to the bank statement.
Yeah, right.
So they're building up intrigue for this four-way match at No Mercy for the Raw Women's title.
No Mercy. That should be one of my buttons on the stream deck here. No Mercy.
Yeah, just put a bunch of sound effects on there.
Yeah, exactly.
Next, Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman came out. The Heyman promo started out more of the same, and then we started doing the fighter, are you ready stuff.
Yeah,
I was kind of getting into that.
Oh yeah, because he was getting hyped with it. Yeah,
everything
he was
else
into
before
it.
That, I felt like, okay, I have to do this. I have to sell
heard,
this match.
Yeah, I heard that.
It's like,
that
oh,
again.
You know, I'm sure he fleshes things out before he goes out there and does promos. But he's like, okay, this is something that's different. I've never done this before. I'll try this, see if it works, and it worked because he wasn't pitching it as a wrestling match. He's pitching it as a fight.
As a fight, yeah.
And so
he referenced
on cue,
the Broctagon.
Yes. On cue, Braun Strowman comes out.
I loved it. God.
That was great.
Ooh, man,
it was really good.
I loved two bastards. You know what, man? I'm going to say it. Like, it was at this point, and it has been this point for a little while now. But I'm sitting there just in awe. Sorry, I know it might be a little bit on the hyperbolic side. Hyperbolic is not a word. In awe at this Universal scene right now.
They've done a good
so
job booking it over the last
strong, man.
6 months.
And they continue on a weekly basis to do it properly.
Yes.
Braun comes out immediately. Two big, heavy bastards lay into each other. And Braun no-sells a German suplex.
He does.
Whoa!
He gets right back up.
He gets right back up. And Brock, they said it on commentary, Brock looks like he just saw a ghost.
Yeah. Braun sold it really well.
It was fantastic. And then Braun lays out.
Yeah, he choke slams Brock and then gives him a power slam.
And Heyman's freaking out.
Yeah, and then Braun stands on Brock's chest with the Universal title held
high.
Oh,
yeah.
It was good.
Man. It's so good. So good.
So good.
That freaking German suplex and a no-sell. Oh.
Oh, it was so smooth.
Magnifique.
As soon as he hit the mat, he just rolled through and stood up.
Oh, God. It was great. It was fantastic. They're really selling the crap out of Braun Strowman.
Good.
They're really selling the crap out of
it. He is a star in the making.
And I gotta mention this. I might be able to save it for the Elias bit, but just want to reiterate. Corey Graves, Michael Cole, Booker T, all just obviously having fun.
Yes.
Zero tension. They're all... It's like they're all trying not to crack each other up.
I know.
You know what I mean?
Well, it's like they're all trying to crack each other up.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody wants to be the one that breaks and actually starts laughing.
When, during the Elias Sampson match, Booker T said something like, I was walking down the hallway and Elias Sampson said, hey, I got something new for you, baby. And Corey Graves said, did he say it like that? Yeah, he sure did. That was gross. That's just them trying. Like, they're trying to make each other laugh, but stay in, you know, in their jobs, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think they're having a great time, and it adds a lot. It really does.
It does.
Next up, you know, man. Okay, so it was Goldust versus Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt cuts a promo on Goldust saying that he's akin to Finn Balor and that he wears
that. I like that.
Paint. I liked it, too. And here's my thing.
I feel like this should have happened before their match at SummerSlam, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, they're 1-1 now, so...
No, I know, just in terms of the story, though.
I know, but okay, here's why, and I'll just play devil's advocate, because I kind of agree with you. I think it can happen now simply because Bray took the loss.
Yeah, he's trying to expose...
He's trying to expose it, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know.
So maybe he's trying to justify it as much to himself as he is to the crowd.
Entirely possible.
I just feel he can't help but feel a little bit bad for Goldust, who... has had this weird start. So look, it's Goldust. We all know that he's not going to have priority when it comes to WWE creative.
Yeah, but wasn't that long ago that he said that he had something new in the works?
Exactly. Again, I think it's a matter of WWE creative wanting to have something for him, but not really having anything for him.
Probably.
So that's not going to happen. So, you know, who knows what his latest star was, his latest creation was going to be. I don't know. But anyways, he said, yeah, Goldust, his power is in his mask. He hides behind it. And then he proceeded to basically squash Goldust, dropped him with it. Pretty
Goldust,
much was.
Goldust came out of the gates early and got some good offense.
He didn't get the jobber routine necessarily.
No.
But the overall story was just Bray Wyatt beat Goldust and then took out a rag and like started scrubbing his face off.
Well,
His face paint off.
And saying, he's just a man, he's just a man.
Right, exactly.
And out comes Finn Balor
mm-hmm.
To make the save, and Bray just runs out of the ring.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming, it could be wrong. Well, the story could go one of two ways. It could be Finn takes another loss because
mm-hmm.
he's not Demon Balor.
Yeah.
Or it's to show that Demon Balor isn't the one with the power, it's just Finn.
Yeah, yeah.
So it could go either way, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
depends if they want to wrap up the storyline right now or keep it going.
I feel like they really don't have anything else for either of these guys.
They don't.
You know what I mean?
But the funny thing is like, The Miz, when was the last time he defended the Intercontinental title? I mean, no, I guess he did just Jeff Hardy last week, but before that.
Yeah, I know.
Didn't defend it at SummerSlam.
I know, and you say Jeff Hardy. It's not like he's in a feud with Jeff Hardy.
No, I mean, Jeff Hardy, he moved on to something else.
Yeah.
So, it seems logical to do a Miz-Finn Balor program, because they teased it.
Finn, this far back when
Finn came back from injury.
A while ago.
So maybe they're just saving that for a major pay-per-view. They want Finn to get through Bray first.
Survivor Series? That's
maybe.
A ways off.
Well, it's a couple months.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
It could be. In any event, I loved the... we'll talk about it in a bit, but I loved the Miz Enzo bit stuff.
Oh, that was great.
I loved it. And, dude, it's getting... I'm not going to say it's getting Enzo over with me, but everything that Enzo has been in lately, I've been into. And so we'll talk about it in a second. Next up, we had a Sheamus Cesaro. Interview. You're not going to do it?
No, yeah. I'm just shrugging because neither of them are terribly captivating on the mic.
This is a program that I'm kind of just... I mentioned this last week.
Waiting for it to end.
I'm kind of over it. Just kind of over it. I appreciate, once again, that Seth and Dean are having fun. I appreciate that. And I like them. Like, when they were backstage and they came upon Jamie Noble and Dean Malenko later.
I popped huge for Dean.
Big markout moment for Dean Malenko.
Huge for Dean.
Cannon Grant hit me up on Snapchat. Man, Dean Malenko looks...
He looks the exact same.
Really old.
Not that he looked the exact same. He had a little more gray in his temples. Otherwise, he looked the exact same.
Quite a bit more gray.
He could probably still wrestle.
He had that stone face. I don't think that face ever changes, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that led to a match, the club versus Sheamus and Cesaro, but the match never happened. Seth and Dean came out on commentary.
The club comes out.
And they were just, you know, having a laugh at Sheamus and Cesaro's expense. Everybody just brawled before the match even started.
So a match didn't happen.
It was kind of like, it was a super, I know it led to something later on the main event, but it was just kind of like a really anticlimactic segment.
For sure.
It felt like filler.
Yeah.
Like there could be another way to motivate the main event.
This entire feud, it's given a lot of play. And I'm kind of bummed out that Braun Cena wasn't the main event.
I know. I thought it would be.
Should have been the main
event. I mean, they could have had this 8-man tag match, which was the main event, right after this, and it wouldn't have bothered anybody.
I mean, and on top of that, they gave Braun Cena lots of time.
They did.
That was a pay-per-view quality match.
It felt like
it
should have been
right
the main
there.
Event.
It really should have been. But they seem to really like this Seth and Dean thing. People love Seth and Dean. What are you going to do?
They do. I know. Next, we have Seth and Dean backstage with Kurt Angle, and they're saying that they want all four men. The club, Sheamus and Cesaro, they want to take him on. And Kurt says, no, but I'll give you an 8-man tag match. Go find some partners.
Yeah, exactly. So then they went to go look for partners. Then they announced, confirmed, Asuka, you're headed to Raw. I brokered the deal, William Regal, with Kurt Angle, Daniel Bryan.
Well, the commentary team was giving all the credit to Kurt Angle for negotiating
the contract
to bring,
but you know, William
Oscar.
Regal is the one; he's the point man in that particular scenario, right? That's what Asuka. That's Asuka. We are currently in negotiations with both Raw and SmackDown over who gets Asuka. She's vacating her title.
Yeah, I know all that happened.
Can I just
NXT
do this entire podcast in William Regal's voice, please?
Asuka.
Can one of the buttons on the stream deck be Asuka?
Okay, that's fine.
Because she's coming to Raw, so whenever we talk about her, I can just go Asuka.
Yeah. Coming soon. They didn't announce a date, but
hey, what'd you think? I like that little snippet
good.
Of a video package.
It was good. Really good. It was really
looks
well
cool,
shot.
Man. Looks cool.
Well lit. High production value.
Next up, Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss backstage, having just watched the Asuka promo. Wish they were crapping their pants a little bit more.
I know.
They're like, Asuka, now she's showing up. And I'm like, no, man, you're about to get your head ripped off.
Nia Jax and Asuka had some matches in NXT.
Mm-hmm.
So she should know firsthand.
And she should be crapping herself. Exactly. She go. Anyways.
I don't know if her.
You think YouTube will demonetize a fart noise?
No, I don't think so. You've been fart noise in this entire thing, I feel like. We've done plenty of fart noises before.
All right.
I can't remember if Alexa Bliss had a match against
Austin. Is that going to show up in YouTube's closed captioning? Fart noise.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
So anyways, Nia tells Alexa Bliss that next week she's finally going to get her one-on-one match against Alexa Bliss.
Yeah, this is one of those long, like too long, like they're just overwritten dialogue. Alexa, and God bless Alexa, she can handle dialogue.
Nia didn't really say much, though.
She didn't have much to say. I do wish so, because she had, like, she threw in a couple words here and there, and she needs to articulate more.
Well, I just felt like that she was waiting for Alexa to stop talking.
Yeah, I know.
So she can finally say, I have a match.
I like when she said, when Alexa said, you know, he's mad because we're best friends. She said, we're not best friends. I like that.
Yeah.
She delivered that one line good. I'm just not a fan of these. Sometimes they work when it's like, for example, Seth and Dean been around for a very long time, and you kind of understand that they've paid their dues enough to do cheesy backstage. It's almost as if you can't really get into backstage segments unless there's some history that is kind of fun to watch being played out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Seth and Dean, when they run into Roman backstage. I don't know. It hasn't happened yet.
Hasn't happened.
But that's a backstage segment I'd be interested in. I'd be, you know, that's fun. When they did the thing with Finn Balor in the club and AJ, and they tried to. That's kind of fun. Beyond that, I don't really care for them. I don't really like them.
Okay.
I don't like them. Anyways,
let's
next
go into
up,
something you probably do.
Who
like.
Wants to walk with Elias? Oh, he's in Anaheim. He said he's saying the only thing they're known for is the Mighty Ducks, but that's too bad because Anaheim sucks. That was great. Man, I love Elias Samson. He's the best.
The whole time he's trying not to laugh.
I know. Oh, it's so good. I forever and ever I can watch that. It's fantastic.
Again, he's interrupted this time by Kalisto.
So good.
They have a match. Kalisto actually gets in quite a bit of offense.
Mm-hmm.
But Elias wins with the Drift Away.
Oh, I know. It's the best swinging neck breaker in the business
really
right
good.
Now, man. It's brutal. I love it.
It's great when people like Kalisto did last night sell it really well.
Oh, man, yeah. Real fast. Next up, we had match of the night right here, John Cena versus Braun Strowman. This is great, man. Cena really, once again, selling the power of Braun Strowman, how scary he is.
Yeah, exactly. He came into the match completely scared of Strowman, or at least aware of what Strowman could do to him.
For sure, yeah.
And so Cena kept on trying to get an AA off. He did at one point, didn't he?
No, remember he tried it and then Strowman like fell on him.
Yes, that's right.
Like Strowman
he
tried
too
two heavy.
Or three times, yeah, to get an AA off. Couldn't do it. They end up brawling on the outside, right up on the outside. Cena runs around the ring, and as Cena runs towards Strowman, Strowman turns around with one of the steel steps, mm-hmm. hits him with it. For some reason, the ref didn't DQ Strowman right then and there.
Right.
I guess they were saving the DQ for the finish of the match, which
took
saw
place. Yeah,
Strowman
yeah.
pushed the larger section of the steel ring steps into the ring and then power slammed Cena on top of it.
He borrowed a page out of my 2K17 book.
Yes.
Hey, when's NBA 2K18 coming out? I think it's supposed to be this week.
Oh, it's not out already?
I pre-ordered it.
Oh, I guess it's not out already.
I pre-ordered it, so I should get to play it 4 days early. What day is it today?
It's the 12th?
The 12th. I think it comes out on the 18th. Maybe I can play it in like 2 days. I mean, you're not going to see me for like a couple
weeks.
September
19th. In
so
one
September
week.
15th is when I'll get to play it. Nice. You're not going to see me.
Okay, that's fine.
A while. You're solo. You're solo, baby.
I get a vacation. Looking forward to it.
Nice. Son of Booty Juice.
Oh.
On the way to youtube.com/MFSteve here. You want to come on my channel, play with me?
Nah.
No? Bulls versus Kings? Classic lineups?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oscar Robertson.
That's tempting. We'll see.
Lionel Simmons.
Really?
Dwayne Coswell.
Is the L Train part of the Kings all-time lineup?
Bobby Hurley.
Probably not. They'll probably pick Bibby or Oscar Robertson.
Tony. What was that dude's name? Who else? Tony. Man, what was his name?
Tony Delk?
And Quincy Doobie.
Was it Tony Delk?
Tony Delk!
Yeah.
That's it, yeah. Michael the Animal Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Brian Grant.
Yeah.
That's the team right
Otis
there.
Otis Thorpe.
Mitch Richmond.
Reggie Theus.
Can I get, what's that dude's name?
LaSalle Thompson.
All right, anyway, moving on. That was a great
moment. We
know our
Kings
moment.
History, yes. Next, we do. Roman Reigns interview.
Eric Musselman at Coach.
There you go.
Get some of that liquid courage.
Oh, my goodness.
Got a DUI and then got fired. What do you
oh,
want?
I know.
Anyways, moving on.
Next, Roman Reigns gosh. Interview because he was backstage watching the Braun Cena match.
I know. Again, they need to boost the mic levels with Roman.
Yeah, why does he talk so quietly?
He talks so quietly. Look, man, I'm not the smartest guy in the world and I can talk loud. You know?
Yeah, you can.
Come on, Roman. It's not that difficult to increase the volume of your voice.
I'm naturally a very soft-spoken individual, but when I'm playing some WGPW, I raise my voice.
Exactly. Come on, man. Talk up. I'm going to sell Titans talking like this. Hey, Roman, how'd you feel about that Cena match?
It's like the episode of Seinfeld with the soft talker.
He's so the soft talker. Could you imagine trying to talk to that guy like over dinner in a crowded restaurant?
Well, I mean, he's supposed to be the locker room leader. I hope he carries himself with more gravitas in the locker room when he's trying to dole out some backroom.
Maybe they think that he's saying justice. Really important things and they just can't hear him. Maybe. Like, I imagine he gets on a stool so he's tall and stuff. And he's like, all right, man. Big dog.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only time he speaks up. Big dog.
Oh, God damn it. Anyways, let's see here. Yeah, so he said...
Big dog.
He said, Braun didn't show him any mercy and no, neither will I. No mercy.
No mercy.
Anyways,
next, Dean and Seth backstage. They run into Jamie Noble and Dean Malenko.
I like that.
Huge pop for Dean. That was great.
I like that when they come upon them. Dean says, oh, it's the man of 1,000 holds. And then Seth says, yeah, and Jay. And call him Jamie because he's part of J&J security.
J&J, that's
yeah.
right.
Yeah, and Jay. Anyways, that was good. And Jamie knew with a big smile on his face.
Anyway, they turn around. The Hardys are there, and the Hardys are going to be their tag team partners.
Yeah.
Matt was really doing the broken
Super
stuff.
Super broken. Like, he must have gotten clearance from legal. It just sucks. Like, it's not part of his story. They're just, what's going on with Matt? He's acting weird.
I know.
That's what it is. Oh, he's acting weird now.
And he's putting up weird YouTube videos where he's kind of taking a bit of Ryback's gimmick.
Feed me energy.
Yeah.
Awoken.
Anyways, we'll see where it goes.
Miz TV was next. Oh, yeah. Miz comes out with Maryse, and it's freaking adorable, man.
Yeah, it was very heartfelt.
She's got a baby in the oven.
It's very rare that Miz kind of breaks character for a moment.
Did you see the legit smile?
Very heartfelt, yeah.
On his face?
Yep.
Oh, man, my heart.
When he was making the transition from that bit to reading his speech,
yeah.
You can tell he was trying to hold back some tears a little bit. He was getting a little misty-eyed.
I know.
But once he transitioned to the speech, when he was back being the Miz.
No, I know, I know. When he looked at Maurice.
I know.
And that smile was on his face. Was like, oh, he's the man. That's so great. And again, you harken back to that WrestleMania Cena thing.
Yep.
Let me ask you something. When are they going to drop that Cena knocked up Nikki Bella? Like after they get married, obviously.
You watched it. They had the televised wedding.
They're gonna after the televised wedding, it's gonna be on some crap episode of Total Bells. That's where it's gonna be. I mean, it might be in the ring at some point.
It's gonna be a whole episode of Total Bells.
I know exactly. It's so and it's just so like gonna be annoying. Although watching Cena as a dad might be very entertaining.
It could be.
There's a look, man. I'm sorry. This is why sitcoms go to that over and over again because a lot of comedic moments and child rearing.
Mm-hmm. You know.
So, anyways, I'm very excited for Miz and Maurice. That's great for them.
Yeah.
Anyways, right as he was about to read his speech about being a father, Enzo's music hits.
Yeah.
He comes out.
And the Miz gives him the what's for about interrupting his moment. Mm-hmm. And Enzo tries to play it off. Well, I just want to come out here and celebrate with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
He says, how you doing to Maurice?
Yeah.
Miz takes offense to that.
He takes issue with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, at some point they get into a really nasty back and forth verbally.
Yeah.
Miz
brings up getting kicked off the bus, getting kicked out of the locker room because no one likes him.
And he says, look, I've been there before. I've been there before. He says, the reason you're on 205 Live is because nobody likes you. You're being sent there. And Miz puts over to the 205 Live Cruiserweight.
He does.
He says they can do magnificent aerial moves.
And you can't hang with them.
It was blistering.
It was.
It was so good. Again, very true.
The heel makes good points.
Enzo tries to come back by calling Miz a paper champion, and Miz laughs it off and even asks the crowd if they believe this. And the crowd says no.
Yep.
They're with the Miz on this one because he's not a paper champion.
No.
This guy has been through so much with that Intercontinental Championship. You can't say that. Enzo looks like he's about to cry. He says, you know, maybe I ain't got a lot of friends, but I got two things to fight with.
Yeah.
He, more than anybody, he does the Vince McMahon.
He really does.
From one voice to another.
Yeah, on a dime.
Yeah, on a dime. I got these two hands right here to fight with.
Yeah. So he challenges the Miz to a match.
Yeah.
And that happens next.
I actually really liked that match, too, because they kept on getting on the mics.
Yeah.
I liked that aspect of it.
I don't know. There was that one sequence where they're running the ropes, mm-hmm. and there was like a really clumsy exchange. And shortly after that, Enzo got on the mic and started calling the Miz out in his wrestling ability.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm sure that's scripted, but man, that felt real.
Yeah, it really did, yeah.
The whole thing felt just clumsy enough that it could have been motivated by, like, shoot motivated.
Yeah. And then Miz, he takes the mic after he gets the upper hand. Because, he said, I think Enzo said,
You may be a Hollywood A-lister, but your wrestling moves are straight to DVD.
And then that prompted like the rest of the match to be wrestled basically on the mic.
Yeah.
So
Miz grabs the mic and says, Enzo, how you doing? And starts bashing his head into the ring apron and says, again and again and again and again.
Yeah.
He gets the top rope.
And... Oh, because Enzo, yeah. And then Enzo comes back with, of course, you're stealing my catchphrase because you steal everybody else's catchphrase. He says, but the only question that you should be asking isn't how you doing. It should be to Maurice and it should be who's your daddy or to your kid, sorry.
Yeah.
And who's your daddy. And that prompted Miz to really get fed up.
Yeah.
And
Enzo out of the ring. Miz Taraj beat him up.
Yeah.
Segment ended with Miz giving Enzo a skull-crushing finale.
Yeah.
Is it possible that Enzo's going to be involved in feuds on both 205 Live and Raw?
Possible. I mean, if he's... Look, and I said this at the head of the show. I'll say it again now. Everything Enzo's been involved with, I've been into. His stuff with 205 Live, I like how they're booking him they're not trying to pretend that he's a high-flying cruiserweight who can hang with everybody. The gist of the story is he can hang with them.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see how that plays out. I'm interested to see how it affects Neville and what we get out of Neville from that. Miz put over the Neville huge.
Yeah.
Massively. He says Neville is the guy who comes in here to perfect his craft. That was so good.
I know. I really appreciate Miz on Raw putting over 205 Live like that.
I know. It was great.
It was
fantastic. Yeah. It was really good.
So anyways, after the commercial break, we come back. Enzo's like wandering backstage, runs into Neville. Neville just laughs at him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was good, too.
Neville's so good.
Neville's amazing. Next up, we had the actual main event, which was Dean and Seth versus and the Hardys versus Sheamus and Cesaro. I mean, it was a fun match. It was what it was. They gave it plenty of time. At this point, it's kind of like, I don't know.
It's one of those matches where the outcome never really seemed in doubt.
Yeah.
For that reason, there wasn't much drama involved.
I know, that's the problem with it. And not only is the outcome not in doubt, there's no stakes to it.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not like the winner got anything.
I know.
The belts weren't up.
It didn't really advance story.
No, it really didn't.
Rollins pinned Carl Anderson after...
Carl Anderson.
I guess I'll just call it the ripcord knee because I don't know what else it's called. Or, sorry, he called it his cool knee.
His cool knee.
And followed up by Dirty Deeds from Dean.
Yeah.
Just all right.
Was what it was.
So, okay, episode of Raw. Just a couple segments that, and again, it could have been just entirely a situation where...
Oh, that happens, man. That happens.
Where I was like, man, this football game, this Broncos-Chargers game is going down the wire. It sounds really exciting, but I can't watch it because I have to watch Raw. Can't have my cake and eat it, too.
You know what I hate when people do? The violin thing.
I don't like that either.
That's annoying as heck.
It's condescending is what it is.
It really is. I feel you, though. I'm not, like, I don't really care about the football. I mean, I like football and everything. I won my fantasy league.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
You mean our fantasy league?
Our, well, yeah.
One we're both in.
Yeah, but you're also, you got, like, two others.
Yeah, I do.
So you're a tourist.
No, I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm full-time in all of them.
You're full-time in all of them.
Yes,
right.
I'm dedicated. I want to win everything.
You do better part-time than I could ever do full-time.
Oh, really? Well, you won this week, and I didn't.
You pay. Yeah, I know, but you know what? I chose one member of my roster.
Oh,
that's it. I did not choose anybody else. I think I chose my quarterback, and it's Philadelphia. You're a Philadelphia fan. How's that Wentz kid? Is he good?
He played okay on Sunday, yeah.
He did good.
They won, yeah.
I'm upset that somebody stole Brady from me. I've had Brady the last, like, three years.
Orchestrated trade.
Nobody's going to trade with me. I'll use my star power.
Tom Brady had a down week one. Maybe his value's taking a dip. Get him in a bargain.
Maybe.
Best value.
All right. Sounds good. I'll do that. Do you have Brady? Can I have
No,
it?
I don't.
No? All right. Can't
I have
Brady.
I have Russell Wilson.
I don't even know who's in our league. Is Coffin still in our league? Is Hilton still in our league?
Hilton's not in the league. No.
He hasn't been in like 2 years.
Yeah.
That guy's like Channel 13. Let's see here.
Questions.
Questions time.
Jack Dolan, are work shoot promos getting tiresome? When they're so lopsided, yes.
Are we going to wait for this Hangman Page question until we do a dirt sheet?
Oh, what's the question?
CM Punk finds it insulting. Where's Hangman Page? Power rank the top five places Hangman Page could be.
Oh, that's a good question.
He could be...
Did they leave him? Did they forget to like wait for him? They all got in the car and left. He's at the previous hotel.
Oh, that could be. He could be at a hotel. I'm going to say number three is hotel. Number five is a performance center.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think that's where he's at.
No.
He hasn't. That would have been announced.
Two, he's probably just at home.
Yeah, two, probably just home. Number one, probably operating the camera.
Yeah.
The iPhone.
Yeah.
Nick Jackson's iPhone.
Yeah.
So he's probably behind the camera.
And then four.
He's with them.
Oh, yeah.
I think number one is he's with them.
Well, I don't know because I think they... guessing here, they might have shot that Bola weekend.
Oh, okay.
As far as I know, unless he lives in LA, he wouldn't have been there.
Oh, okay. Well, Tokyo, maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
Was everybody else in the video at Bola? Cody was in the video, wasn't he?
I don't remember Cody. I didn't watch the whole thing,
though. I think Cody was in the video.
Oh, then maybe not.
I don't think he was at Bola.
No, he wasn't.
Anyways. Let's see here. Do you think Dan Boss? It's a good question at this point. We're always on championship changing hands watch. Dan Boss says, do you guys think there's any chance Braun walks away with the Universal Championship?
Not at No Mercy, no.
No Mercy.
No. Brock's carrying that belt all the way to WrestleMania.
I think so. And you know what? So far, this plan, I think, is working out pretty good to have Roman versus Brock. Because there's still 5 months before WrestleMania? How far are we?
7 months.
7 months away from it, so still a long time.
More than half a year,
yeah. And
you
have Brock versus Braun, and then Reigns versus Cena. Both those guys are going to go over.
Yeah.
And then they'll have another high-profile feud against somebody. So they've got these two paths that are going to converge at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So far, I think it's being done pretty well.
Yeah, it is. The only concern is that by the time WrestleMania rolls around, people still aren't on board with Roman Reigns.
I think they... I'm wondering if they just simply... Look, man... Just follow through with your plan.
Oh yeah.
And if people aren't on board with it, they're not gonna cheer for him. They're gonna cheer for Brock. You know, in any event, the way they book Brock and the way they book Roman is kind of similar. It's two guys who don't care.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I think regardless, it's going to be interesting. I just hope, my thing is this. I hope that when WrestleMania comes, there is some doubt as to who's going to win that match.
I would like to.
That's, if they can pull that off,
yeah,
that would be huge.
That would be huge. I have a hard time believing that's going to be possible, but I would like that to be the case.
Because when Roman fought Undertaker, there was virtually no doubt.
Oh, I know.
That Roman was going to go over. I want some doubt.
Yeah. Tommy T, do you think Terrence Thompson's Uncensored. How satisfying was it to see The Miz bury Enzo with the best shoot promo ever?
Very. Especially given that he is going to be dad.
Yeah. Tommy T, do you think Braun right now is the hottest thing in all of WWE?
Correct.
Yeah.
I'd say yeah, man.
Yeah.
Especially the way they're booking him, this unstoppable monster. It's fantastic.
It's been great.
You think Brock's going to win clean at No Mercy?
It's probably going to be a situation where Braun like utterly destroys him to start the match, and then I think it's going to be kind of similar in structure. Hopefully the ending isn't as abrupt how the Lesnar-Joe match went.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Where Joe had the upper hand for best
of
the match.
I don't think it's going to be that.
I don't think it's going to be quite that as abrupt. I think it's going to take more than one F5
to
defeat Strowman.
I think Samoa Joe is human, and I think Braun isn't. And so it's going to take more than just
F5. Yeah, no. That's what I'm saying. It's not going to be that abrupt of an ending, but in terms of the structure of the match.
For sure.
Where Braun just laying into him.
Yeah.
Getting the upper hand for a vast majority of it. And then Lesnar just pulling out a victory.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to be. Stranger in a Strange Land TGX. Was that a face turn from The Miz? And if not, what is he? He's too likable and too much of a real talk guy to be a full heel.
I think Miz just occupies the space of The Miz.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
He is the epitome of heel that makes good points.
Yeah.
And if he keeps making good points, it's going to endear him to the crowd.
Yeah, but he's still going to do heel. He's just going to be making his points.
Yes.
He calls it like it is.
Yep.
Robert Chacon, the draft master. Whose shoot promo was better? Rain Cena or Miz Enzo?
I'm giving it to Miz Enzo.
Me too.
JT, hey friendos, power rank. Who would be the guy if Triple H took control of the WWE today?
Ooh, what a good question. What a good question.
I mean, it's hard not to say Seth.
Really?
He's top five.
Oh, man.
Nakamura?
Can we both agree that it wouldn't be Roman?
Yeah.
I think we'd have to agree it wouldn't be Roman.
Yeah.
I would maybe give an edge to Joe.
Yeah, it'd be possible.
I think Triple H really likes Joe. I think he loves Seth. I think
It's got to be Joe, Seth, Kevin Owens, Nakamura,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe AJ.
Yeah, yeah. I would give an outside chance to Braun.
Yeah.
You know, I think Triple H I think he would totally understand the appeal of Braun. People love Braun.
Yeah,
man.
I know.
That much. You can't ignore that. And he's your monster. The only problem with Braun is you run into, are they gonna book him? Are they gonna book his career like Big Show?
Yeah,
that's a very big concern.
Yeah,
sort
yeah.
of taken for the monster you take for granted, you know.
Yeah.
Because again, if he's already maximizing the amount of merchandise he's selling, and you don't have to put the belt on him, then the belt's not gonna go on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But I hope they try to make a big mainstream crossover guy out of Braun.
Mm-hmm.
The big dong Drew Q power ranking. Who is the daddy of Maurice's child?
Well, I think number one is definitely The Miz.
Number one's got to be The Miz.
I think 1 through 5 is The Miz.
Well, how about let's play up some intrigue in storyline. Let's say they're doing those cheesy Who's the Daddy storylines. That's terrible.
It's awful.
Yeah.
Well, one Miz.
Yeah.
Two, Curtis Axel.
I was going to say Bo Dallas.
Either or.
Yeah, okay. All right.
2, 3 can be
2, 3.
Axel and Bo Dallas.
Miz Taraj, yeah.
4.
Ooh, how about John Cena?
I was about to say that too.
A lot of history there.
Yes.
I kind of like John Cena for number 2, honest with you.
John Cena.
Lots of history there.
5, Enzo.
Ew, gross. That's nasty. That's nasty. Let's see here. Ooh, here we go. A Punjabi Larson match has the question. Is WWE doing the right thing when it comes to getting Jason Jordan over by giving him great 20-plus minute matches. What else would you guys do to help him get over? I think we both agree that, yes, they're doing the absolute thing. But what is the next step? What's that next story?
I mean, they started that story with Kurt Angle being his father, and they mention it, but it hasn't led to anything story-wise.
Yeah, right.
Like if they played up something or some, or say one of somebody else in the locker room was upset with these great matches that Jason Jordan was getting and took it to Kurt, and Kurt's like, I'm just putting in these matches.
Yeah.
There's no nepotism involved here.
Right.
And someone still has a problem with it. There's a story. And then Jason Jordan and that person can have a feud over it. That seems the most logical thing to do.
Yeah.
Especially with in back-to-back weeks with Jason Jordan having matches against Cena and Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Like, is Jason Jordan have a match against Braun Strowman next week?
Oh, God, I hope not. I think a couple more weeks of him doing these really, really fantastic matches could totally lead. Number one, he needs to rack up some wins.
Yes.
So you give him a high-level opponent that he can put on a really fantastic match with, give him a couple wins, and then Kurt Angle says, look, you've proven that not only...
Your win-loss record is good enough.
Listen, son, that win-loss record has proven yourself an Intercontinental Championship shot. At that point, I would go ahead and revisit. Here's the thing. Through his actual matches, and then plus you have commentary, your social media team, put over his matches, give him a bit of a buzz, you know, a generated buzz, generate a buzz for him, and then you can use that as a launching pad for a story to get him in a thing with The Miz, you know?
Tokyo Dome Hayes, who controls NXT when Triple H takes over for Vince? Triple H will still be involved with NXT, but I don't know if he'll... be as involved, do you think, Regal?
I don't know. I mean,
he is already heavily involved.
I don't see why not. I just don't know. I don't know what Regal's strong points are.
Yeah.
You know, is it the actual, like, booking storyline stuff? Is Regal in a position where he wants to do that stuff?
He seems, you know, from what we hear, he goes to a lot of shows. Maybe talent evaluation.
Right.
One of his strong suits.
Yeah. But then does that play into, like how they build stories and stuff, you know?
I don't know.
I do not know. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I mean, I would think that Triple H could probably... If Triple H becomes more of a big picture guy as opposed to... I mean, neither of us have any idea exactly what his day-to-day is like.
Yeah, and we don't know anything else about what the NXT creative staff looks like. Maybe there's someone on the creative staff there that is kind of being groomed to be the heir apparent.
Well, yeah, and that's what I'd figure. I mean, I know NXT has writers.
Yeah.
So if it's a matter of stepping back and saying, okay, let's, you know, big picture this. This is where I want this to be headed. This is where I want this to be headed. Pitch me your stories, you know, 28 people in creative and in writing staff. And then I'll go ahead and look at the best ones. You know, obviously, he probably sits down with Stephanie. He probably, like you said, he probably has his certain writers that he thinks are more suited to what he wants to do than others.
Yeah.
You know.
Lachlan R., how long do you see Ambrose and Rollins being a tag team for?
Mania.
Yeah.
I think Mania, they'll probably... I mean, at that point, you can't have Seth and Dean being a tag team throughout... Like in perpetuity.
I know. It'll be 8 months. They're champs until Authors of Pain takes those belts off them. Or the Revival.
Yeah.
Charles Sips, which build has been better, Lesnar versus Strowman or Cena versus Reigns? I think Lesnar versus Strowman's been better.
Here's an oddball question from one of my favorite friendos, Jason the Cabbie. I think it's time we all address the real problem in the WWE these days. The pay-per-view vampire. Last night, he was in the crowd holding a sign for Curt Hawkins, and he's slowly draining the life from his blood slave. Who in the WWE does he have vampire blackmail on, and what is it?
This is confusing me. I didn't notice a Curt Hawkins sign last night, did you?
I didn't, but I really wasn't paying too close attention. Is there one specific individual holding signs that of various wrestlers who are... I mean, this sounds like a Scooby-Doo mystery that if there's any friendo that I'd love to see as part of a Scooby-Doo mystery is Jason the freaking Cabbie.
Yeah.
I would love to see in his weird green mohawk. I would love to see him driving around that mystery machine.
Yes.
That'd be great. I don't know, man. I'll start paying attention, though.
Nate Morris. Should we be alarmed? No cruiserweight action on Raw tonight and a shortened episode of 205 Live tonight. Nicholas Grosskirth mentions 205 Live isn't shortened tonight. It's just on a half hour later because finale for the Mae Young Classic is on at 10.
You know what, man? Here's the thing. There were no weird cruiserweight tag matches last night. And that, to me...
But there was a cruiserweight on a prominent position in the show.
Yeah.
Enzo Amore.
Yeah. And Neville was being put over big time.
Yes, and Miz put it over the entire show during his promo.
Yeah. Alex Crenti. So at this point, is Roman benefiting from his war of words with Cena? He says, part of me thinks Roman is giving his best stuff that we've seen so far. The other part cannot get over how much more natural Cena is. I mean, we didn't really address, you know, we're another week into this. What is the point of this? It feels like if all this stuff is being written for these guys.
I mean, I think the point of this isn't necessarily to get one of them over, per se, based on their mic skills. I think it's just to build heat for the feud.
Mm-hmm.
In that sense, I think it's mission accomplished. It's been really one-sided thus far because Cena is just vastly superior on the mic than Roman Reigns.
I think I wonder this. I wonder if it's a matter of... I wonder if it's a matter of they're going to have Cena bury the crap verbally out of Roman so that it gets much more heat onto Roman when he beats Cena.
I don't know.
I mean, look at his thing with The Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
It's The Undertaker.
Yeah.
What has Roman talked about endlessly since he retired The Undertaker?
Retiring The Undertaker.
Exactly. Getting lots of heat on him because nobody's happy with that.
Yeah.
And well, so Cena...
The Undertaker might be happy.
Oh, I'm sure he's very happy. Cena is doing everything we love for Cena to do. Work, shoot, promos. Ooh, and Cena can deliver these better than anybody, except for maybe The Miz, but better than anybody. So he's doing all this like hardcore, all so that Roman can beat him, all of which will kind of piss off the fans.
Maybe. But I don't know. I mean, Cena gets such a mixed reaction as it is.
Not with these promos.
No, I know.
People love these promos.
I think it's a bit of a stretch to compare. I mean, like The Undertaker, if Reigns comes out and says, I retired The Undertaker. Unanimous boos. No one wants The Undertaker to be retired.
Yeah, but when Cena says, you can't get past me like a drug test, unanimous cheers.
I know, but then with Reigns comes out and says, yeah, I beat John Cena. It's just not the same as saying that I retired The Undertaker.
No, I know he can't. I don't think he'd come out and say it. I just think it's another layer of heat they're going to add to Roman.
Potentially. But I don't necessarily think it's comparable to retiring The Undertaker.
Levels. Different levels.
Levels.
Yeah, levels.
One
more question, and then we're going to do kayfabe.
Finske, you're not me.
Hey.
Balo Murray.
Hey.
Hey, friendos. Hey. Power rank both your top five wrestlers of all time. Thanks. Start from five.
Baron Corbin.
Five?
Of all time.
Wow.
No, not even close.
Wow.
Okay, I don't know. I got to figure this out. I think number one is Stone Cold.
Number one for me is Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, it's like the kind of bunk answers, but it's true.
Oh, they're good answers.
Bunk.
There's a reason.
Number one.
Shawn Michaels.
Stone Cold.
Number two.
Number two. Macho Man.
Yeah.
Oh, Macho
Man. Macho Man.
Macho Man.
He's so good.
So good.
So good.
Number three.
I'll say Stone Cold.
I'll say Ric Flair at that point.
It's good.
Ric Flair.
I'll say Flair at four.
Okay. Number four. I'm going to say, I'll actually say HBK at number four. Man, look, man. There's a reason why we've been best friends for a very long time.
Five.
Number five.
Naito.
Oh, that's good, man. That's good. Number five. Jeez.
Or The Rock. I used to love The Rock.
Boy, I love The Rock. I'll probably say The Rock at this point.
It's a tie for me at five.
Maybe Terry Funk at number five. Because I'm endlessly entertained by Terry Funk.
Yeah.
Promo, wrestling, crazy old bastard.
An album of original music.
And an album of original music.
And a modest acting career.
I know. How do you not love Terry? And he's a booker. How do you not love Terry Funk?
I know.
Terry Funk.
Terry's great.
Tommy. Anyways, you ready, Larson?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
For the best trivia challenge in the history of wrestling.
It's Kayfabe Corner time.
Kayfabe Corner. He's fat. All right. So, this week, I put up two of the current top henchmen groups in all of wrestling, the Singh Brothers, a.k.a. Bollywood Boys, and the Miztourage, which obviously includes both Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel.
Yes.
All right. By far, the Miztourage won. The few people who threw me a bone for the Singh Brothers openly acknowledged Steve. We're just doing this because Steve wants to bully the Bollywood Boys.
Yeah.
So it's the Miztourage. 12 names, 6 real, 6 fake, and 2 quiz.
Trivia questions. So 6 real,
not
six
to be
fake.
Confused with chat trivia.
Which is tomorrow.
It's tomorrow. So first up, here we go. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
I have to ask the question first. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right.
Fighter, are you ready?
Fighter, are you ready? Extreme Championship.
All right, get on with it.
Number 1, Larry Amarillo.
Fake.
Very good. Tank Rotundo.
Wait, say it again.
Tank Rotundo.
Real.
Very good. Chad Chaos.
Real.
Fake. Stan Spears.
Real.
Fake. Mr. Florida.
Oh, that's real.
Yeah. Leland Race.
Fake.
Real.
Hmm.
Brooks Logan.
Real.
Fake.
Wow, that's a lot of fakes.
Miss Monica.
Real.
Good. Mar Wicks.
How you spell the last name?
W-I-C-K-S.
Real?
Sounds real, but it's fake.
Hmm.
French Banks.
Real?
I didn't even try it. Really? That's fake.
What'd you
say
again?
Fake as crap. French Banks.
Oh, okay.
I was about to say, I didn't even try on that one.
That's a lot of fakes. You said before we started, 6 real, 6 fake.
It's 6 and 6.
Oh, okay.
Second to last one. Chad Dick.
Real.
Very good. Billy Kryptonite.
That's got to be fake.
It's real.
It's 5. That was awful.
Oh, man. Trivia question number 1. Who did Curtis Axel tag with in his debut pro wrestling match?
Jack Swagger.
DiBiase's kid. DiBiase Jr.
That makes too much sense.
Yeah. Why does that make too much sense?
Because they're both sons of wrestlers.
Number 2.
2.
About a year after he debuted in FCW. Oh, no, this is Bo Dallas now. The first question was about Curtis.
Yeah, Lashley. No, I put it together.
About a year after he debuted in FCW, Bo Dallas started tagging with his brother Bray Wyatt, who went under what name?
Husky Rotunda.
Good guess. Duke Rotunda.
Oh, I knew this was going to be here.
Oh, wait, no, sorry. Duke Rotundo.
Oh, Rotundo.
They alternated Rotundo and Rotunda time to time.
That's weird.
Anyways.
Yeah, it's not a good week for me.
How many did you get?
5.
That's it?
Yeah, not a good week.
Wow.
I got caught up in keeping track of reals and fakes rather than just trying to guess the names. It always does me in.
Goodness gracious. Anyways, not well done, you.
No.
Oh, man. My arms are still sore from my workout 2 days ago.
Really?
You know what that means? That I hadn't done a proper workout in forever.
Yeah, go more often.
No, no kidding.
3 days a week minimum. You got to catch up, man.
Yeah, but you don't do arms 3 days a week, do you?
No.
You just do arms
1 day a week.
1 day a week.
One day's chest, 1 day's back, 1 day's arms, and
I'm
going to
start doing a core workout. I need to start doing a core workout.
Yeah, I do.
My core is terrible.
I do 300 sit-ups every workout
day. I can't bend over without having the anxiety attack of throwing out my back.
Yeah, you got to start doing some deadlifts.
My core is pure jelly.
Do deadlifts. That'll help your lower back muscles.
Really?
Yeah.
Deadlifts?
Yeah.
I think it's more my hams.
Yeah, do that. Do deadlifts.
Yeah, okay.
You need to stretch out your hammies, and that's why. So when you bend over, you're bending at your hips, not your lower back. Because I had that problem, too. And it gives you back pain if you bend the wrong place.
Anyways.
I can give you a workout plan.
Give me your workout plan.
Yeah.
I'll check that out.
Yeah,
I'll take
intensive.
A look at it.
You're going to be at the gym for an hour and a half.
I'll cut it down to its essence. I'll trim the fat from your
workout plan.
It really
is cut down to its essence.
I don't think it is.
It really is.
All right. I'm curious. I want to check it out. See if I can pull a Larson workout.
There you go.
I like it.
I've done research into it, so it's not just based on my opinion.
You and your internet. Anyways, that's it for the show. Patrons, stay tuned. I'm going to post the link to our post show right after we go off the air here. And I want to say thank you to everybody for tuning in. And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
I'm going to hit this button right here. It should turn us off. Yeah.